bulletin, your sermon outline in your bulletin, and follow along, because you never know when God is going to hit you with something that you want to scratch down and keep in your heart. This Christmas sermon series, we are gaining insights not only about the meaning of Christmas, but also how to live out the values of Christmas every day of the year, not just during a December month, but every day of the year. Thus the title of this series, An Everyday Christmas. Let's begin with the question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not much and 10 quite often, how much do you think you influence others towards Jesus? Just in your own mind, choose a number. How much does my life influence people towards Jesus? And put a number to that. Hang on to that number till we get to the end of the message. I belong to a Facebook group called Advent Unfolding. I just discovered it. It's pretty cool. The following that I'm going to read to you was written 2 years ago by a woman named Tammy Weinert. Not Weidert, but Weinert. W-E-I-N-E-R-T. She begins by saying, unfolding. From bed sheets to birthdays, something in life is always unfolding. 8 years ago, my sister-in-law Jenny had a craft day at church. We were to make little keepsake boxes out of those Altoid breath mint tins, you know, those little tins, and painted bright red. Inside was a treasure, a trifold piece of cardstock, beautifully decorated. Our task was to write some snippets about ourselves and place them on each of the three services. I used a favorite Bible verse, a small photo, a personal quote, and a short letter in this tiny manila folder, butterfly stamped, entitled The Story of Me. I enjoy taking the time to think and reminisce, creating this miniature time capsule, she said. As I reread it today, 8 years later, I realized that I am who I said I was, and that brought comfort to me, but also some frustration too. Much living has happened in these 8 years. I have said goodbye to my mom and dad. 4 dear uncles. My special friend Jim. My mom-in-law. And our beloved dog Willie. I've seen our little boy turn into a strong man and our baby girl turned into a beautiful young woman. I've seen gray hair and concealed it. I can't see what I'm reading. I have said goodbye to flexibility and hello to heating pads and memory foam. I've grown older with my husband, Todd, and I have come to love him even more. I've counted my blessings and held my breath when life became unpredictable, and I counted on God to never leave me nor forsake me. The story continues as I unfold into what God is shaping me to be. The word unfold is a verb. It is active, but it's also passive. It is physical, mental, spiritual. I have this image of me that has been slowly developing like a Polaroid picture developing on a cold day. Slow going, gradually revealing, an image of a tense body, arms tightly folded like the tall gates of a fortress, guarded, legs stiff, unyielding, jaw set, mind locked, eyes glazed, and a dull buzz in the ears that gives no pleasure or direction. I see shoulders bowed by the burden of exhaustion, hands clenched and feet that are either frozen in fear or shuffling to somewhere that is life where life is pressing. Then I see the same person unfolding, like a flower slowly blossoming to the gentle call of the sun's rays. Arms loosen. They come down to rest, and then they raise in praise. Legs bend and even kneel. The jaw softens and the mouth opens with whispers. The mind clicks open, and the fog begins to clear as the eyes mist and drop their burden. The ears pick up discernible sounds and words, the quiet voice of my God. The shoulders remain bowed for a time, and the head as well, but then slowly rise as the thoughts of the mind and the heart bond together in harmony, no longer strangers keeping their distance. Prayer, God's plan unfolding in my life yielded to God like Mary, Jesus' mother. Come what may, Lord, I accept. Unfolding, this is the place where anything can happen, where God writes on the surfaces of our lives and faith and adds to the story of us. Unfolding under his gentle and yet purposed hands. What Tammy wrote gave me food for thought. Our lives really are like the story of God unfolding his plan and his presence in our lives. As I read this week about the events of Jesus' birth, I realized that God was unfolding, that God unfolding his presence can be excitingly revealing and sometimes unraveling to our lives. Both are faith-stretching and faith-growing experiences. Joseph and Mary were enjoying how their life plans were unfolding. They were looking forward to a wedding ceremony and eagerly anticipating raising a family. Then God began unfolding his plan with his presence. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Unfolding. We know from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, that Mary had accepted God's plan for her to be Jesus' mother. Soon after becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit, Mary went to another town to an older relative named Elizabeth, who had become pregnant 6 months earlier. Elizabeth was old, and her husband Zechariah was old, but God had promised them a child, and they were to name him John, who we know as John the Baptist. Mary spent about 3 months with Elizabeth and helped Elizabeth with the birth of John. Then Mary went back to Joseph in Nazareth. Now, I can't help but think, as Mary's walking back home, however many miles it was to get back home, if she worried how Joseph was going to react to the news that she was pregnant. Unfolding. Remember, God's plan and present, his presence with you, can be excitingly revealing and sometimes unraveling in your life. Mary's pondering how she's going to let Joseph know that she is pregnant. How is he going to respond? And so she wonders, how will Joseph react? It's hard for him to believe her incredible and maybe even incredulous story. He decides to divorce her quietly. Their plans for marriage and family are beginning to unravel. But then, Matthew 1, 20 through 25. But after he had considered divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burden and said, in a dream, and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. God unfolding his plan. God is unfolding his plan and his presence. Oh, that can be extremely revealing and sometimes unraveling to people committed to God and his values. We assume that Mary told Joseph how she became pregnant with Jesus. If you were Joseph, could you believe her incredible and seemingly impossible story? You're pregnant with who? Who did you see while you were gone these 3 months, Mary? How would Joseph and Mary's parents and friends and community treat them when they learned that Mary is pregnant before Joseph and Mary consummate their marriage? The Jewish law allowed Joseph to divorce her, in fact, to even announce she's been unfaithful and take her outside the city and stone her. Joseph didn't want to do that part, but he had chosen to divorce her quietly. And he was ready to make that choice. God unfolding his plan and presence could be excitingly revealing and sometimes unraveling to our lives. And at this moment, for Joseph and Mary, it was unraveling. But with God's angel message, Joseph chooses to keep Mary, accept the baby as his own, and together he and Mary played their part in God's plan to offer salvation to the world. The result of their choice will make salvation possible to a world desperate for love and hope, to a town called Athena, to people sitting in church, perhaps hearing for the very first time that God made it possible for them to be forgiven. Even though the unfolding of God's plan and presence in their lives meant an unraveling of their own plans, Joseph and Mary chose to accept and live by God's plan. So with the people around you, discuss these three questions. These three questions. What other choices could Mary and Joseph have made? What does their choice tell us about their spiritual lives and their values and following God? And what was the result of their choice? I want you to take a few minutes and discuss those three questions with people around you. Begin. I hate to break up this party. All right. What other choices could Joseph and Mary have made? Let's just throw out an answer or two here. They could have split and gone their separate ways. Joseph could have divorced her anyway. Could have stoned her. Moved away. Yeah, left. They were living in what town? Nazareth, thank you. Okay, they could have left and gone somewhere else, you know, because the community isn't going to accept us and so on. Okay, what does their choice tell us about their spiritual lives, about their value of following God?
They were very intent
They were very in tune with God. Surrendering. Convicted. Okay. Trusted God. Okay. Have you ever had God kind of unfold a plan, you know, a little piece at a time, unfold a plan to you, and you're going, but God, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not ready. Yeah, that's a big one for all of us. I just wasn't ready. Well, can you tell me what ready looks like? I think for most of us, the answer is ready looks like I'm comfortable now. Now, let's throw that one out the window. Okay? So they valued God. They trusted God enough to say, God, we don't know what our community is going to do with us or even to us. But your plan is unfolding. Okay? Do they know at this moment that they're going to have to flee for their lives to Egypt and live there for a while? Do they? No, they don't know that yet. Do they know they're going to not have a place to stay the night at Bethlehem? They don't know that yet. All they know is God said to Mary, you're going to be the mama of Jesus. And the angel said to Joseph, you take him and you raise him up as your own. That's all they know right now. Now, they do have behind them their history of being a Jew. They know the story that one day a Savior will come. I wonder if that was in the back of their minds. Is it? We're going to bring the Savior? Mary, listen! We're bringing the Savior. God chose us. Wow. But it seems to me that with every unveiling, unfolding, every exciting revelation God gives me, there's some part of that that unravels me too. And the unraveling part is this. Obey or disobey. That's it. When God gives you new information, something you didn't know before, part of it's going to unravel you because it means obey. So these questions help us. The final question is, what is the result of their choice? The world has an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I don't think Mary and Joseph could see that far into the future. They could see this week. And they're following Jesus. Too often we demand, I got to know what the end result's going to look like before I take the next step. Right? Mary and Joseph didn't. They trusted God enough to say, okay, this week, or maybe this day, or maybe even this minute, I will follow you. God is unfolding his plan, can be exciting and revealing, and sometimes unraveling. But embrace this important truth. Here it is. When you choose to accept God's plan and presence in your life, there will be a profound impact on the lives of people for generations to come. Did you hear that? There will be a profound impact on people's lives for generations to come. Now, I know that you're tempted to believe, because you're like me, that your obedience doesn't make much difference. It's just me, we say to ourselves. Don't go there. Why? Now, everybody, let me have your attention here. Don't go to the place of my obedience doesn't make much difference. Why do I not want you to go there? Because to do so means that you also believe that your disobedience doesn't make much difference either. And many people have died not knowing Jesus because other people believe that to be true. This is a lie from the pit of hell. Just as much as God is already drawing you closer to himself in a meaningful relationship with him, John 6:44, he is also drawing you deeper into knowing his plan and knowing the power of his presence in your life. Your obedience is never about just you. We live in a culture that says who you are and what you do is no spit of a difference of importance to anyone else. Don't let anybody else tell you what to do or what to think. None of their stinking business. We live in that culture. It's very thick. It's very thick. Yet we find that our colleges and universities are very much into telling you what to think and what to believe. Your obedience is never just about you. God designed your obedience. Okay, ready? Here it is. God designed your obedience to impact and influence people for generations to come. Do you believe that? Do you think that's true about your obedience? It was 1951 when God unfolded his plan and presence to the lives of a young college student and his wife. Bill and Vonette were both very short people. In fact, when he was behind a podium, Bill had to stand on a box to be seen. But God wanted to reach young people with the good news and salvation and stirred up Bill's heart to start a ministry on college campuses. You probably wouldn't have paid much attention to Bill and Vonette if you saw them at the mall, but you have probably been blessed by their ministry. As God was unfolding his plan and his presence to Bill, Bill said that even though he was excited to know more about God more deeply, it also was very challenging for him to follow God in this ministry. You may not know them by name, Bill and Vonette Bright, but you've probably heard of their ministry, Campus Crusade for Christ. Today it's called CRU, C-R-U. And this ministry is in 190 countries. Started by one man on one campus in 1951. Don't you believe that your obedience is just about you? It always impacts others for generations to come. And let's remember this warning, so does your disobedience. You probably wouldn't have noticed Virginia at church. Elgin Christian Church, where I grew up. You wouldn't have noticed Virginia at church. She was a small woman who could barely see over the steering wheel when she drove. As she aged, her back became more bent and she became even shorter. She was a gentle soul, but a powerhouse in prayer. Virginia spoke words of life to a 12-year-old boy, words that planted a seed of how important he was to God, and those words took root and became an anchor through several big storms in this boy's life. And he could remember at one very crucial crisis in his life that God loved him, and that knowledge turned him in the right direction when there were other options that would have left him in a life distracted and perhaps destroyed. But Virginia's words, spoken 8 years previous, stuck with him and turned him towards God. That boy grew up, and today he uses those same words to help other generations, young and old, learn how important they are to God. And that boy stands in front of you today. Virginia Hug, her name describes what God did through her life. Her willingness to let his plan unfold in her life. And it was sometimes unraveling to her. His plan in her life. You probably wouldn't even have noticed her, but she influenced several generations of children who are now today doing the same in St. Louis, in Seattle, Africa. People, your obedience is designed by God to impact the lives of other people for generations to come. From Joseph and Mary to Virginia Hug, and now to you, God is unfolding his plan. And he has, and as he does so, it will thrill your soul to know him more deeply in the moments you've had those aha moments. Oh, I get it. Whoa, God, this is so awesome. And with each revealing comes an unraveling so that God can rebuild that part of you that up until this moment sat quietly in the dark. Your obedience is designed by God to impact the lives of others for generations to come. Do not let that be lost. Grasp hold of that. Your obedience is not just about you. It's about helping others understand and respond to God's love for themselves and for generations that they will impact. This is living an everyday Christmas. Let's respond to God. Respond to God. Grasp now, today, how important your obedience is, and that your obedience influences people for generations to come. That's you. Joseph and Mary, what if they had chosen to do something else? What if they had chosen to do something else? And the same question comes down the road 2,000 years later to this very moment. And now God is asking you, what are you going to choose? In the places where it might look scary to follow God, are you going to choose something else? Your disobedience impacts people for generations to come too. You feel the weight of that? I do. But your obedience is designed by God to influence others for generations to come. And that's what Joseph and Mary want you to know today. I'm going to ask that as we sing this song, that you would gather with me up here, and we're going to sing it to each other. It's about our Father God and his singing over us. He knows us. And if you're willing, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you're willing to come forward, let's just sing together. And those of you up there, you want to come down or you want to gather together and sing up there, let's praise God, for he designed it. I'm going to say it one more time. He designed your obedience to impact people for generations to come. Whew. Your obedience matters. Let's stand together. Come forward. Let's sing together.